Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here, back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the goats in the uniform and, well, pretty much everything industry in terms of branding since 1974. Should go check them out. They're good folks. We've got for you tonight, head coach Joel Penner from Dort University. Coach, it has been a hot minute since we've had you on. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I always love talking football, especially these cold months of January.
You got to get by somehow. We were watching, my wife and I were watching some racing earlier today, and my wife looked at me and she went, "This isn't good racing, but it's racing." And so now I understand why you like watching just any football when you can. Yes, that's exactly why, sweetheart. You got to scratch the itch.
Absolutely.
And we are here to scratch it. A good year for Dort, 15th overall by SP Plus Metrics, with the fifth defense in the country by their metrics, with 4.38 yards per play allowed, almost 6 yards per play gained on the offense, which was 28th overall. Well, Coach, going back through the notes here, even in back to 2020, when we had talked in 2020 and 2021, you had a returning wide receiver here by the name of Levi Jungling. And, now he's your offensive coordinator coming in, getting promoted this year to OC. Talk about Levi's growth, I mean, from player all the way to handing in the keys to your offense.
Yeah, Levi's ready to take on this new role as offensive coordinator. He's been on staff with us for 3 years. He was actually a player coach. I kind of held a GA position open for him. His senior, it was a year after the COVID year. He got that extra season, wanted to use it, started grad school early. And then he was the receivers coach in pads, making plays for us. I knew right away that for one, he can do a lot of things in his life and be really good at it. But I knew his heart and his passion, his gifting, that, if he stuck around, that he'd be somebody that I would potentially be able to give the offense to and trust with that. And, folks that know Dort football know that I've been very involved with the offense all the way from the beginning when I started. I've also delegated that role to Aaron Mingo first, was my first OC. He's now the head coach at Taylor University, and now Levi Jungling. And so he's grown up in the offense. Just really bright. He's going to add a twist and a flavor to it. I've always said that I'm never going to let somebody run the offense unless I think they're going to do it better than I could have done it. And that's where we're at. So that's why he's doing it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Taylor, I thought that was a good hire for Taylor, getting Aaron Mingo. I think he's going to get them on the right track, and kind of already is. It takes a long time to turn a program sometimes, and I have faith. Let's take a look at your team last year. We already said it was a real good year for Dort, making the playoffs for the first time since that 2021 season, if I remember correctly. You start off with a great start through September, and you hit a speed bump against Midland. Talk to me about bouncing back from that Midland game and how that defined your season.
A really good moment for our program, kind of a midseason wake-up call. I really feel like we hadn't had significant tests, and I think it probably gave us a little bit of false sense of confidence, and we were exposed. Midland did a great job against us, and we failed to really finish a game and make plays. And anyway, for us, it was kind of like, all right, well, is this going to be one of those years? You know, we've been 7-8 wins for how many years in a row? I'm losing count. Or is this going to be a breakthrough season? And, you know, we really started out our season with goals and aspirations that we would, you know, punch into new territory that we've not been yet in our school's history. And, you know, losing your fifth game, 10-7, you know, it was a hiccup, and we kind of had to really face the reality of what it was going to take. And our guys didn't flinch. I mean, we just came back, and the staff, the players, everybody, it was like, we're better than this. We're going to fix this. And you know, we kind of hang our hats on a phrase around here that anyone who's around me hears a lot, but it's the longer we play, the better we get. And so I just feel like if you have a bought-in team, a bought-in staff, a bought-in group of players, and you practice every day and then you play on Saturday, why wouldn't you get better as the year goes on, right? It just logically would make no sense for a team to play their best football early and then peter out as the year goes on. To me, that's there's some, you know, sometimes injuries happen, and I know there's other variables that come into play. But so we just stuck to that course of the longer we play, the better we get. And we just focused on getting better every week, you know? And I think that happened all season long. I really do. I think we played our best football right up to the end. And that's what I would want with any team.
You do have that loss a couple games later in Northwestern that no one is going to sit there and, you know, say that that's a terrible loss, but it's only a couple of weeks later that you come on and shock the nation, taking down Morningside. Now, yes, it was Morningside's second loss of the year, but between you and me, I don't remember the last time Morningside had two losses in any season, let alone a third later on, obviously, in the playoffs, but You get a lead early, and then you hang on for the ride there at the end, get a fourth quarter touchdown, and seal the deal. Talk to me about that feeling of actually beating Morningside and taking them down.
Yeah, I mean, I still maintain that we are positioned in our conference. I guess on one hand, you could say, man, it's such a tough conference. You know, you've got 6 years in a row of national championship representation from the GPAC. And here's Dort trying to, you know, make their way in this league. Seems like a disadvantage, seems like an uphill fight. I kind of look at it like, why wouldn't you want to have these tests in your own conference? You know, I look at some conferences, they get to the postseason and it's like, oh, this is different, right? I don't think any GPAC team that makes the playoffs is ever going to feel like, oh, this is different, right? We're well prepared. And so Morningside has been a giant, and you know, on all levels, you know, of what great football looks like, great coaching, great players, great competition, just the kind of team that makes you better. And so when you're a young aspiring program, you look at the programs that are doing things well and you say, how do we get over the hump? And I think I've just been really thankful for the 7 years of getting beat, because it prepared us for the eighth year where we beat them. And all of those years, you know, you don't just say, well, it was a good day for us. You know, I say, no, that was almost a decade of knowing each other. I mean, their staffs had great continuity. Our staffs had a lot of continuity. You know each other, you learn each other, you get better. Your players start to believe. I'm giving a really long answer. It was an incredible finish. You know, there was a moment we had a nice three score lead in the first half, and then Morningside kind of turned on their championship DNA and took the lead, and we really stalled on offense and weren't making stops on defense in the second half. And it took a championship drive in the fourth, 13 play drive, chewed up a good chunk of the clock. We scored with 30 seconds left, and then that was it. So huge accomplishment for the program, and really proud of our guys. They had to not only beat a great opponent, they had to beat the message that kept, you know, almost the invisible barrier of the curse of, you know, you always lose to these guys. That's to me, that's almost a bigger hurdle to get over than the actual opponent you're playing. It's the opponent you have between your own ears that you have to overcome. And that's why I'm proud of them, because they finally did it.
Of course, this year we have the new 20-team playoff. And what I'm kind of wondering here is, as we go through and make our way, always starting with the guys who lose in the first round, then the guys who got that first win and tripped up in the second. But I'm wondering about that travel in the first round. You know, other than just the normal run of the mill home field advantage, did y'all feel that on that quick turnaround against Ottawa, that being at home was an extra advantage to you that week?
You're talking about as we prepped for the Ottawa game?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the first time we've ever hosted a playoff game at Dort. So, you know, I loved it personally, you know, not having to travel. And, you know, at that point of the year, it's been a grind. And, you know, most years we're getting on to other things at that time. And now, no, we're just getting started, hopefully. And so, yeah, having a home game was really, really great. We allowed us to stay in rhythm. I think it was good for our university. You know, we had never put on an NAIA playoff game, and there's a lot that goes into it. Our people really came together on campus, our administration. You know, you have to cover the bid, and you know, within like 48 hours, our community, you know, wrote the checks and did the sponsorships and made it happen for us. And just a lot of support around here. Really thankful for, you know, how that week went. My AD literally came into my office and said, "Get your team ready. We have everything else covered."
That's a nice feeling.
It was awesome. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about opposing team hotel accommodations. I'm not worried about any of those things. I know a lot of NAIA coaches have to take on a lot of things like that, but our school really stepped up, and so did our community. There was even a local brewery that did a free round after every Dort touchdown. They're kind of taking fans away from the stadium, but they had the live stream up in the brewery and made it a fun experience. So
nice,
just a pretty neat thing for our community.
Hey, you know, 5 free rounds. I'm gonna be okay with that.
Well, I was tempted to hop over there at halftime, but probably wouldn't have been a good look for me.
Yeah, probably not. The next week, though, unfortunately, your season does come to a close. But it's a hard fought game on a snowy day in Orange City. You face your rivals, your basically cross county buddies over there in Orange City. And 7 points is all it takes some days, and this was one of those days.
It was. Yeah. Think about that game a lot, and just super proud of a lot of things, you know. Proud of our defense. Gave up an early score, held them to 7 first downs in the entire game. It's been a while now, but under 200 yards, I think, of total offense. You know, every stat that you look at was favored to Dort, except the one that matters the most, right? And that's the points on the scoreboard. We're inside the 5 twice with 0 points, and that's a credit to great red zone defense for sure. And you know, we had a blunder or two as well. So, you know, what I really loved about the game was it was great competition. It was fought hard by both sides. You know, obviously super disappointing to be on the 6-inch line and feel like you can win this game and not. But there's no question that our guys have a very high belief factor for our future matchups. And that's a lot of, you know, that's encouragement for me. I know how hard they played. Our guys just laid it all on the line. And to be in a one-score game with a team who hadn't lost in, you know, a lot of games, I think it shows where our program has come and where it's at.
And, you know, I'll be honest, between y'all's game with Northwestern and their 34-17 win against St. X the week after, those two games in a row have me absolutely fooled on Northwestern. They went and absolutely handled Georgetown the next week. I thought that offense had, maybe someone had gotten hurt or something, but y'all held them good enough to make me think that there was something wrong.
So, yeah, I just played great defense, and our defensive staff put a tremendous plan together, and our players played free and fast, you know, just did a great job. So, you know, I know that there's always – I know there's teams that don't make the playoffs who are deserving. I know that there's an imperfect way of looking at everything. Part of me is scratching my head that was the pairing of the second round. We are very glad it was, because that's the matchup we wanted for our program. We thought that was exactly where we wanted to be as a program. But, you know, we finished second in the GPAC, and we're playing the one seed in the second round. You know, doesn't always make sense. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why that took place. And I also know there's a lot of teams that would have loved to be in that spot. So, it is what it is. And, but we're going to hold our head high, because we feel like we played our best football, late in the year and really lived up to what I talked about earlier.
Yeah. I think that bears itself out. Now, looking at your team coming back this year, on offense, if you just look at the returning all-conference first and second team, it's a couple of offensive linemen. I think that shortchanges y'all a little bit. You've got your starting quarterback coming back in Colson Cruz. You've got a running back who scored 12 touchdowns a year ago in Brendan Piper, and two guys at wide receiver who combined for about half of the receiving yards from Colson in Isaac Looker and Cade Rower. Talk to me about your offense, and I mean, you've got a lot coming back.
Yeah, I just can't wait to get to spring ball. For one, Levi Jungling's leadership with the offense is going to be a fresh and exciting thing for our guys. But last year we were rolling with some young players. One of our top skilled players was injury ridden all season, and we never really got to get him going. And having him back is, you know, we've been waiting a long time to see Connor Dodd back in action and healthy. But everyone else that saw minutes, you mentioned Looker and Rower, Caden Harkin was a freshman that caught a lot of balls and was a really big play guy for us. You know, these guys were all sophomores or younger last year. And to have a lot of game experience and to have a quarterback who's got game experience now, and to have pretty much the entire offensive line back, and most of your running back room, you know, if the longer we play, the better we get remains true. We're just going to keep getting better like we did last year. So that's the hope.
I mean, I've seen your offense with an incredible quarterback at the helm. That thing gets to humming when you've got a good QB under center. Looking at the other side of the ball, the fifth deep ranked defense by SP Plus, you've got basically everyone coming back at linebacker, whether it's Ian McDonald, Tylen Waringa, And also a couple of first team all conference DBs. You know that. Yeah, you know, 4 forced fumbles, 5 interceptions, 120 some odd tackles. Ho hum from your defensive backs. You know, nothing big there. No. Talk to me about staying where you are and getting better and more ferocious on defense.
You know, last year was a huge, and coaches know this, but the value of experience, right? And how many games you have under your belt. You look at a guy like Abe Stace. Abe is a 4-year starter. He has literally started every single football game. And we played, 10 twice. We played 11, and then we played 12 last year. So you can do the math. He started in every one of those games, and he's back for his 5th year. The way that you play defense as a 23-year-old who's played a lot, you play some really good defense. And we have that in our secondary with Abe. We have that with Grant out at our field corner position. And then 2 seniors in Dan Jungling and Lucas Huttinga, who are also, you know, have a ton of experience under their belt. You just can't trade that. I mean, experience with good players is more important on defense than anywhere, I think. You know, the D-line is where we have new faces, but we rotated a lot last year. So even though some of the first guys are graduated, you know, there's going to be guys playing on our D-line that got a lot of minutes last year. So feel really good about the defense that's returning. And, you know, I believe we can improve on where we were at even a year ago.
And of course, we can't leave our preview without giving the specialist a little love there with Steven Linen kicking the 58-yard field goal last year. That's a boot right there.
I tell you what, I'm on the 40-yard line and I send the field goal unit out. And I'm thinking like I'm an idiot. Like, you don't do this. This isn't what you do. You know, it was the end of a half. We were in a 2-minute drill. We were in scoring position. We were in a good, easy field goal range, you know, position, but then we got a holding penalty. And then I'm in that weird spot of, you know, do I throw the Hail Mary now or do we go ahead and kick it? And, you know, we had a nice breeze that day. I'm not going to say it wasn't a little wind aided, but Steven can boom the ball. We knew that. And so, yeah, we snapped from the 40 and he lined up, you know, across the 50. He's on the other side of the field kicking a field goal. It just looked wrong to me. But he drilled it and easily 10 or 15 yards to spare.
Good
so
gosh.
I think he would have been good from at least 65 that day.
Good grief. That's some Justin Tucker kind of stuff right there.
He's a good one.
Well, Coach, we both know that whether it's football, whether it's your walk with Christ, whether it's just life in general, if you're not striving to get better and improve yourself every day, borrow the, I think it's the Mickey Andrews quote, be 2% better every day, you know, you're going to be going backwards real quick. So what area of your program, on or off the field, are y'all really looking to home in on or improve in 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have developed more and more conviction of the role that your mind plays in competition, certainly in life. But, you know, this is our world here of competition. And, you know, in scriptures, it talks about having the mind of Christ and, you know, trying to unpack all that really means for a college athlete. You know, what does that mean for an 18 to 22 year old male playing college football? I think I've seen a lot of growth. I'll just tell you one story about a young man in our program who came in and I think was probably insecure on the football field. If there was a mistake or, you know, he was exposed, there was just not a lot of rebound capabilities. He would kind of tank it. And he just kind of grew up in the program and was in this environment, did better and better. He blocked 5 field goals his junior season. And when you block five field goals off the edge in one season, you're not thinking a whole lot. You don't have a lot of fear or worry. I mean, you're not really expected to do much. You just get to go play, right? You're completely free. And so he blocked five field goals off the edge in one season. And I used him as my like screensaver on my computer in team meetings. I talked about, you know, I used his name and I said, we're going to play this kind of football. And I would use his name to describe it. Like this is what a player whose mind is free to just go and play fast and free. Well, fast forward now, he also plays the defensive back position and had by far his most confident season on the field. Just a tremendous, tremendous player, leader in our program. And just the growth from his confidence from a freshman year to a senior year was just unbelievable. And, you know, I just think about him as an example of, you know, when we're willing to grow and change and be built up as men in the sport of football and in life, it's amazing how much more production we can have, how better we can perform, how much of a better teammate we can be if we just have positive reinforcement around us and belief, you know? And so where we're going with the 2024 season is, we're just going to invest in the mind and thinking rightly. I'm actually hiring a sports psychologist to come in and work with the team this spring. I know that's kind of a trend in a lot of places these days, but the guy that we're going to work with, I won't mention name, but let's just say that his pedigree is he's been around some programs who have not lost football games in a couple of years. And so we're excited about just training the mind. You know, we train the body, we train our skills and our tactics. But if we don't have our mind right, then it doesn't always work. And so that's a lot of what we're spending our time doing this winter and this spring. And of course, there's, you know, little tweaks here and there that every team is working on, fundamentals, strength and conditioning. We hired a new strength coach. We have upgraded a lot. We have a dome now. We're really blessed. So we get to practice all of spring ball, do all of our winter training in, you know, 100 yards of indoor turf in our climate. It's just a game changer. So our guys are in there a ton, just throwing and doing their skills and fundamentals. And so we just got to sharpen a little bit here or there and really excited to think about the 2024 year.
It's going to be a good one. Just thinking about the GPAC as a whole, I'm just so excited to see what happens. Obviously, you know, unfortunately, you're losing one in Jamestown going D2. But overall, I mean, you look at the overall picture. Mount Marty is growing at a really good rate. Hastings has been a pretty good last couple of years, especially 2 years ago. They were real good. Briarcliff is always a thorn in your side. Midland is always going to be a pain for somebody. Dakota Wesleyan had a flipping good year out of nowhere this year, much to the glee of my co-host Matt Schwartzler, who was leading us all in giving Dakota Wesleyan votes in the NAI media poll. You know, can't blame a man for trying to get his alma mater in 25th. And then you just kind of have the feeling that after having a three-loss season, Morningside, they're not going to stand that any longer than they've got to. So it's going to be a really interesting year in the GPAC. I'm so, so excited to see what's going to happen.
No doubt. I think the coaches in this league are fantastic. You know, I've coached in Division II and Division III and a couple NAIA places, and I've seen a lot. But I just think the quality of the coaching in this league and the programs that they run, it's something to be proud of. I'm glad to be a part of it, and hopefully we're adding to its quality.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.